This week's episode is brought to you by showing up on time, like unlike George Jones or Kevin. Openings because Kevin's not here, so I guess I'll just start it. Hello, welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodcast.com. Oh, well, look who decided to show up. My name is Steve Hodge, and joining me, finally, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Much like Gandalf the Wizard, I arrive precisely when I mean to.
Alright, this is going to be, hopefully, I know I say this all the time and it never works out, it's probably going to be a shorter episode because I have a lot of work to do and I have to get back to working after this.
Yeah, so. I think you shouldn't have even said it out loud because now we're doomed to go on a tangent about something completely random. Yeah, just completely random. I'm just going to be racking my brain for stupid shit to talk about.
Me and Kevin don't really have anything planned to talk about, but like you said, something probably will pop up. But we're going to talk about George Jones today, his best music, and some facts about him, I guess, or some
random tidbits,
random stories,
if you will.
So yeah, let's just hop into straight into the fucking moments. Like we did with Merle and Waylon, we're just gonna look at the top 10, like Saving Country Music does, top 10 badass moments by these different artists and shit. So we're gonna do that about George Jones this week, even though I'm not gonna read them all because some of them are just like, he recorded He Stopped Loving Her Today, he recorded Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes. I'm like, okay, yeah, he just recorded songs. We'll get to those songs later.
It's not really like a milestone to record the song. They could say something like, you know, he recorded this song, which became blah, 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 greatest, you know, whatever single ever kind of shit. But just recording it, that's kind of a funny thing. It's just like, he was alive on this day.
But what is a great moment in George Jones' history is he rode a lawnmower to the liquor store. Which is a very well-known story. I'll just read it verbatim from this. This is probably the most notorious George Jones story, but what a lot of folks don't know is that George Jones chose this slow-moving mode of transportation to procure alcohol more than once. The first and most well-documented lawnmower incident was in the late 60s. George Jones was living 8 miles outside of Beaumont, Texas, with his then-wife Shirley Ann Corley. Jones had experienced a few number one hits by the time, and this success fueled his wayward ways with alcohol. He was drinking so bad his wife Shirley resorted to hiding all the keys to the vehicles before she would leave the house so George wouldn't drive to the nearest liquor store in Beaumont. But that didn't stop him. After tearing the house apart looking for a set of keys one time, he looked out the window to see a riding lawnmower sitting on the property under the glow of a security light. There, gleaming in the glow, was that 10-horsepower rotary engine under a seat, a key glistening in the ignition, George recalled in his autobiography. I remember the top speed for that mower was 5 miles per hour. It might have taken an hour and a half or more for me to get to the liquor store, but get there I did. The second lesser-known incident of George Jones' escapades on a riding lawnmower happened when he was married to Tammy Wynette. Taking a cue from George's previous wife, Shirley, Tammy hid all the keys from George, but George had been down that road before. Wynette woke up one night at 1 a.m. to find George missing. I got into the car, drove to the nearest bar 10 miles away, Tammy recounted in 1979. When I pulled into the parking lot, there sat our rider mower next to the entrance. He'd driven that mower down a main highway. He looked up and saw me and said, "Well, fellas, here she is now, my little wife. I told you she'd come after me." The George Jones lawnmower incidents later went on to be memorialized as many country videos, including Hank Jr.'s All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over Tonight, Vince Gill's 93 hit One More Last Chance, that includes the line, "She might have took my car and keys, but she forgot about my old John Deere," and John Rich's Country Dunn Come to Town, and George's own Honky Tonk song.
Oh, yeah. That, and I'll always think of the retelling of it in Tales from the Tour Bus, because they talked about the one where he, you know, one of the times when he goes to the liquor store and he's driving down the road and he didn't turn the mower deck off, so he's just launching the rocks on the side of the road all over the fucking place. And he just didn't give a single fuck about it. It is incredible.
I wish I had watched the Tales from the Tour Bus before we did this episode, because the George Joan episode is so
good. Yeah, well, because I was going to say, I don't know if it's on your list of things, but the other another item that he did that is just, I don't know if it's necessarily badass, but he was tied to the tree by Waylon Jennings.
Yeah. We've talked about that a few times on this podcast, and it's such a funny thing, just because of the line where it's just like, I'm the biggest name in country music, and he replies, yeah, well, now you're tied to a fucking tree.
Now you're tied to a fucking tree. It's like, yes. Incredible. Which is also, I think about the lawnmower thing, which is obviously hilarious, but it also goes to show, like, legitimately how much of an actual alcoholic he was, where he's like, it's going to take me an hour or more to drive this thing to the liquor store and like an hour back. And he's like, yeah, no, I'll do it. I need it. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, if you're listening because you like the list newer music we talk to or whatever, talk about, George Jones
was... I talk to music.
Was George Jones was literally known as No Show because he would get drunk and not go to his own concerts.
Like, yeah.
That's a thing
just
about
just get George liquored Jones. Up.
Yeah. Another badass moment was he walked out of the 1999 CMA Awards. So he said, ahead of the 99 CMA Awards, George Jones was enjoying yet another resurgence in his career. Jones was slated to perform the song Choices on the CMAs, but when producers insist he must sing an abbreviated version, he walked out of the ceremonies and boycotted the show. In a super act of class and solidarity, Alan Jackson, halfway through his performance of Papa Top, stopped down and shifted gears to perform Choices in protest. The event has gone on to be considered one of the biggest moments in country protest of the history of the genre. So I know we talked about that on the Alan Jackson episode, because we talked about how that was one of Alan Jackson's most badass moments.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's George Jones was just like, fuck this, I'm done. And Alan Jackson's like, wow, you really did that to George Jones, of all people? Like,
yeah,
a legend?
It's crazy to think about, you know, that happening, just with how big he was at that time. I mean, like, 99, He's done all the big hits. The only shit that was left to come was I Don't Need Your Rocking Chair. Like, he had done it all, and for them to just be like, yes, George Jones, living legend, we're going to make you do this abbreviated set or whatever. It's like, well, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
Yeah. Sorry, I was reading another thing just to make sure that it's worth talking about.
You wouldn't dare
on the list,
read.
It's overcoming his personal demons. I thought this isn't really a badass moment. I just think it's kind of cool what he wrote. Is some people assume that becoming a rich celebrity solves many of your problems, when for many artists it exposes and fuels their problems, such as the case with George Jones, who had major issues with alcohol and later in his career drugs. At one point in 1979, despite being one of the best-selling artists in the history of country music, he was bankrupt and destitute, living in his car, weighing around 100 pounds and living off junk food. George spent time in mental institutions, tied to his drinking multiple times, and had to be straitjacketed on numerous occasions. He became known as No Show Jones because he missed so many engagements over his career, as we said. But in many ways, George Jones' bad behavior only helped his reputation. His fans didn't turn on him. They loved him more because they could relate to him and their own personal struggles, and because he was such a great artist and performer when he would show. Alan Jackson once said about Jones, "What I like most about George is that when you meet him, he is like some old guy that works down at the gas station, even though he's a legend." Waylon Jennings and others first helped get George Jones sober in the early 80s, and the result was a resurgence of his career. However, later in life, George Jones would fall back into his old habits, but George gave up drinking and drugs for good in 1999 after wrecking his car and spending 2 weeks in the hospital. After the crash, he pleaded guilty to drunk driving charges. George Jones told Billboard later, "When I had that wreck, I made up my mind. It put the fear of God in me. No more smoking, no more drinking. I didn't have to have no help. I made up my mind to quit. I don't crave it." So that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool to have someone make that, you know, revelation and be able to do it on their own without requiring help. It's kind of a crazy thought that a guy like him, who was so in the booze for so many years, I mean, obviously he's older, and then he gets in a wreck, and like, he can kind of prioritize like how much more does he really have to live, and if he wants to elongate those years, he's going to have to, you know, make some changes. But I still think it's a crazy testament to his, you know, I don't know, his will, I guess. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah. Number 10 on this list, it wasn't, it's not one I don't think is a badass moment, but it's something I thought was worth kind of saying, is that he has the greatest male voice in the history of country music. And here's some quotes from other artists where, Johnny Cash says, "When people ask me who my favorite country singer is, I say, you mean besides George Jones?" And then Garth Brooks says, "The greatest voice to ever sing country music." Frank Sinatra said, "The second best singer in America." That's funny. Waylon Jennings said, "If we could all sound like we wanted to, we'd all sound like George Jones." And Dolly Parton says, "Anyone
I've heard that
who-
one.
Yeah. Dolly Parton says, "Anyone who knows or cares anything about real country music will agree that George Jones is the voice of it." So yeah, those are some moments. Yeah, the other ones were just like, they weren't really moments. They're just like, he's a good duet partner. It's like, well, yeah, he's a good singer, so of course he's a good duet partner.
Like, I don't know. That is straight up shocking to me.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's some little things about George Jones. I can't remember. Is he called Possum because he looks like one? Or was it something about way acted? I couldn't remember.
I don't remember. I feel like it was at least a little bit that he looks like him, if not completely. But
I want to say it was because he looks like one.
I think that's what it was. I could see how it would make sense that he was always like drunk and playing dead because he was like dead from being drunk. But I don't think that's where it started. I think you're right. I think it was the way he looked.
Yeah, I'm just.
He also had like I don't know what it is about George Jones, but like his hair looked hilarious to me. Like, a lot of the old pictures of
the sideburns and shit.
Yeah, like, the way that it all came together, it looked like he was always wearing a helmet, and it didn't make any sense to me.
It did look exactly
like
a helmet.
It's like, there's no way that's so actual hair.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't want to sit here reading forever, so, yeah, I see one that says the shape of his nose and facial features earned him the nickname Possum, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, because I couldn't remember if it was how acting or if it's because he looked, but yeah, it's how he looked. But yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about him. If we think anything while we're talking about his songs, we'll, you know.
Yeah, and I think George Jones is one of those that he's so, like, clearly recognizable as a person, as a country artist, that there's really no point to read off a bunch of shit about him if it's not going to be, like, something that people have really never heard before. And we are not the outlet that is going to all of a sudden find some sort of tidbit about George Jones that you've never heard before.
Like, I remember when we first started off the podcast, we tried doing, like, biographies about people, and it's like, yeah, we're not very good at this. Let's just talk about the songs we like.
Yeah, and we're going to just be reading something that someone else wrote, so if we're wrong, it's just someone else was wrong, that we were just relaying it, and so just to say, fuck it, we won't try to relay anything, and we'll just be safe that way.
Yeah. So let's hop into his top 10 songs that aren't as good as Sam Hunt songs.
I will leave this fucking room right now.
Okay, bye. All right, so guys, anyway, Sam Hunt.
Yeah, no, so good episode. See you later. I said it was going to be a short one.
Yeah, literally 13 minutes long. Yeah. Ooh, speaking of which, maybe I was thinking about how our other pod, if we do it, would be shorter, but we'll talk more about that in the future.
Future.
Anyway, so let's just hop into the top 10.
Let's do it.
I don't know if you have the list in front of you, so I'll just have to say it.
I do not have the list in front of me.
And you made it about a month ago, because we were planning on doing this episode in the middle of June, but we couldn't find the time.
And I don't necessarily remember the order that I put the things in.
Yeah, so you're going to find it out just like the audience.
Exactly. Find out the inner workings of my mind a month ago.
Yeah. So number 10 of greatest George Jones songs is a song by a guy named George Jones called The Race Is On.
Well, the race is on, and here comes pride at the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back and trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love stretched for another saint. The race is on, and it looks like heartaches, and the winner loses all.
The racist is on what?
Yes. This was his Klan song.
George Jones
was a well-known member of the KKK.
So I put this one at 10, and I remember I put it at 10 because it's one of those where it's a classic in the sense of, like, I mean, most people know it. It's upbeat. It's the kind of one that will get played on oldies country radio all the time. Oh my God, there's a knife. but it's one of those that, like, I don't really re-listen to it that much, but I have a lot of respect for it and, like, the wordplay. Just the idea, you know, he's pretending like he's, like, reading off the results of a horse race and, like, the way that horses have all these weird fucking names that sound weird. And so he's reading off, he's saying, you know, describing a heartbreak in a relationship, and he's using these different horse names that are like, you know, and then heartbreak coming fast around the corner. I can't remember all the fucking words, but that's the main gist of it. I think it's really clever wordplay, but it's not one that I listened to a whole bunch of times, but I wanted to make sure I put it on the list because it is a classic in that regard.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And so if anyone hears, like, thumping in the background of the episode, it's because I think one of my neighbors is jerking off upstairs or something. I don't know what's going on. But yeah. So that's number 10. Number 9 is a song by George Jones called These Days I Barely Get By.
I walked home from work and it rained all the way. My wife left and didn't say why. She laid all our bills on the desk in the hall. Of these days I barely get by. Put my only $2.
Yeah, so this song, and I do remember this. So this one and then the one after it, I kind of, they're very similar sounding songs, and I wanted to put a couple songs that made me think of a specific era of not only country music, but like George Jones music in general, where it's got like the, you know, there's like female background vocalists making, you know, almost like chorus type songs, and then just the traditional, I'm sad as shit and I'm, you know, drinking myself to death and what I like, the relationship died. Like, this is like, these kind of songs are the staple of older, like, country, I think. And so this one and the next one I think of as just like perfect examples of traditional country heartbreak songs.
Yeah, the next one is the one that I definitely know more, which makes sense because it's higher, but so, God, yeah, let's just hop straight into it. Number 8 is If the Drinking Don't Kill Me, Her Memory Will.
If drinking don't kill me, her memory will. I can't hold out much longer the way that I feel. With the blood from my body, I could start my own steel. But if drinking don't kill me, her memory will.
Yes, I love this song. This is one I've heard a many, a many, a many times, and it's like,
sorry,
said, it's,
I'm trying to plug my computer in and it's not like registering that it's charging, and I don't know why, so just ignore me looking around like a crazy person for a second.
Because you have an ancient computer from college still.
Actually, all right, we're good now.
Wait,
but yes, that is exactly why. Is I have an ancient computer that is a piece of shit.
Oh my God, the laptop that I brought home to work from home, it's so fucking slow. I'm like, of course God, they would give us a fucking laptop that's like from 1986.
Oh yeah. Well, so this one I bought it, you know, my MacBook. I had a MacBook Pro because I was an affluent. I had a MacBook Pro for the first 3.5 years of college. It the hard drive crashed during the spring of my senior year. So going into the, like, you know, the fucking home stretch when I needed it, it died. Yeah. And so this computer was like $300 at Best Buy. And I'm like, that's a computer that I can buy on a college budget. Yeah. And so I did.
Yeah, I was, when I was looking at computers after mine started crapping out, I was like, oh, I could get it. I was looking at cheap ones. I was like, yeah, but I don't know if any of these are going to be good, if they'll have, like, recording stuff that I need. And so I was just like, fuck it, I'm buying a new Mac, and I bought a nice Mac instead. So,
yeah.
Which is expensive, and I don't use it as much as it costs, but whatever.
Yes, but the song, If Drinking Kills Me, Her Memory Can't.
is that the motto of your life?
Exactly. That's how I approach most problems. Well, if I just die from this, then I don't even have to worry about that. No, so yeah, like I was talking about, you know, previously, this era and this type of sound, I think, is really iconic. And so I wanted to put two, and even though they're very similar, I'm like, I got to put them both on there because I really like this era of country music means a lot to me.
Yeah. It is fantastic. Yeah, and I love the thing of how people were like, oh, song, country was always about drinking. It's like, yeah, but it was about, like, drinking away your woes, not, like,
yes,
party, spring break, anthem.
Exactly. And I've said this about other types of songs, too, that, like, nowadays, so many people do a song like this, but they just kind of regurgitate the same words over and over again, whereas... Mm-hmm. The writing may be a little bit simplistic on some of these songs, but he was doing it back in the day when it was new and it was different. So it's that much more powerful. Obviously, nowadays, if someone says the exact same words, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, I've heard that one before. But it's like, yeah, but you only heard that before because George did it first.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next, unless you have some more to add.
No, continue.
Next is my favorite song. It's about Lord of the Rings. Is number 7, Golden Ring.
In a pawn shop in Chicago, on a sunny summer day, a couple gazes at the wedding rings, their own display.
She smiles and nods her head as he says, honey, that's for you. It's not much, but it's the best that I can do.
Golden Ring.
With one tiny little stone
waiting there
for someone to take it home
by itself.
It's just a cold metallic thing. Only love can make a golden wedding ring.
Yes, so like you mentioned, how he's such a great duet singer, and that's a really milestone moment in his life.
He sang with Frodo, and he's talking
exactly
about the ring.
Exactly. He finally got it to Mordor, and then that bitch Frodo didn't want to throw the ring in.
And then George was like, oh!
But so George did a million duets with Tammy Wynette. They were married, and then they weren't, and so I needed to put a song from that era in there, mm-hmm. and so I just picked the most popular one and my favorite one. And this song is great because I believe it is that they did this song after they had already split up. Mm-hmm. So it was amazing that they were even doing songs together, even though they weren't married anymore. But so the song
just
is,
like,
you know,
Blake and Miranda.
Exactly. Never forget. But so the idea of the golden ring is kind of like it symbolizes the circular nature of this song, where it talks about, like, it starts with the, you know, young people in the pawn shop seeing a ring, and he's like gonna buy the ring for his love because he loves her, but it's all he's got at the time. And then it transitions to they're like getting into a fight, and she doesn't care about him anymore, so she just throws the ring out. And then it gets back to the end of the song, and it's another, you know, I mean, granted, it's using the same words, so maybe it's just going around in a circle. But I interpret it as, oh, here's a new couple in the pawn shop seeing this old ring. They don't know what's in store for them, but that's the circle of life, love, marriage, divorce.
And a ring is a circle.
It's a circle.
Of life.
The circle of life.
Symbology.
It binds us all.
Anyway, number 6. Number 6 is Tender Years.
In your eyes, there's a love light. at shining for him. But how long will it stay there? Will that love light grow dim? You can just see the happiness, you can't see the tears. Yes, it's true, you've been living in your tender years.
Tender years. It's about eating chicken tenders for years.
Say the same thing. It's a song about Nug.
Exactly. No, so this one, I believe, the when he's referring to tender years, he's talking about the, like, he's in love with this girl, and she just came off a breakup, and she's still loves the guy, and so he's not, like, he knows that it doesn't matter how much he loves her because she's preoccupied. And then he talks about how he's still gonna love you, her, through until she's done living in her tender years. So I believe it's that, but it also could just be in terms of, like, not prepared for love. Like, she's in love with someone who they're, like, it's just like a immature relationship kind of thing, and then as she grows up kind of thing and just learns how to be in a relationship. But I think of it as just like waiting until she gets her shit back together. Cat!
There's a kitty cat finally coming out from under the bed. But yeah, it's a fantastic song.
Yes, I know. Yes. I see you.
They like rubbing their face on me. Number five is She Thinks I Still Care.
Just because I ask a friend about her, just because I spoke her name somewhere, just because I rang her today, she thinks I still care.
This song actually, because I made the cardinal sin of not having every single country song ever made memorized, I thought this was Glenn Campbell song when it came out on that Adios album.
Because you're a retard.
Yes, I am. But I heard it, and I love the song, and obviously I've heard the George Jones version since, and it's also fantastic. But I love this song because it's that whole thing of, like, just because you ask about your ex, it doesn't mean you still care about her. Like,
yeah, I love it because it's got the two sides where it's got the truthfulness of, you know, just because you're curious about your ex, it doesn't mean that you still care. But also this, like, overdone trying to prove that you don't care, and because, like, I feel that throughout the song where he's just like, just because I do this, and like, well, just because I did this and this and this and this and this, that doesn't mean I care. It's like, actually, dude, you definitely still care. Yeah. And you're trying to convince me that you don't, and I think it's just incredible.
Yeah. I love this song because it reminded me of when I got, like, unblocked by my ex or whatever, and I went to her profile just out of curiosity, like, oh, is she dead? And then and then I saw that she was dating her ex, or dating her coworker, who she told me never to worry about, and I was like, all right. But yeah, no, I love the whole messaging of that, of, like, the just because I ask about her, just because I said her name, it doesn't mean I still care. And then it's also the kind of the song I Don't Care by Blake Shelton, where it's like, I saw her with a new guy, but I don't care, I'm over her. And then at the end she calls him, he's like, all right, I do care.
Exactly. Yep.
Hi. Yes, I see you. Number four.
It'd be really hilarious if we didn't mention that there was a cat in the room and it was just you talking to me.
Yeah. Yes, Kevin, I see.
Yes, I see you. It's like, okay. Am I a pretty girl?
Yeah. Anyway, number four is Choices.
I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I made.
previously mentioned, Alan Jackson singing.
Yes. I love this song. Because speaking of eras, like I was mentioning before, so this, like you mentioned, Alan Jackson sang it, 99. So it's an older George, and him reflecting kind of back on his life in a really cool way, where and he's basically just saying, you know, I've made these different choices and I have to live with them. And like he puts it in the song, you know, I found out at an early age that I like drinking. And she's like, oh, really, George? We didn't know.
I found out at 18 that I like drinking.
Yeah, I
big fan. I mean, 21.
Yes, 21. I waited until marriage. I mean, what?
Oh, wow. That just made... Not that I'm that old, but it just made me feel old that I've been drinking for a decade now.
You booze hound.
I know.
But yeah, me too.
And you're younger than me.
Yeah, and then some, actually. But yeah,
That reminded me, just quick tangent of it. I'm not going to name names because statutory rape is kind of involved.
My good God. One time, what a transition.
It reminds me because of one time I was at a party when we were like 18 or 19. We were starting to, like, I was drinking at a house. Mm-hmm. And my buddy goes, or not my buddy, just a kid who was there goes, yeah, I lost my virginity to so and so's younger sister. And I go, younger sister? Isn't he 17? And everyone was just like, everyone just kind of doing the math in their head, like, wait a minute.
Second. This shit ain't right.
But yeah, I don't know why. That
gross!
Just reminded me of that. It made me laugh, though. I mean, she was like 16 or whatever, but still.
Yeah.
But still. Not like she was like 12. But it just made me laugh because I was the only one to put that together of like, isn't he young? Her younger sister, isn't he young? But yeah. Anyway. speaking of filling people up. Number three, who's gonna fill their shoes?
Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes. Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall? Who's gonna play the Opry and the Wabash Cannonball? Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
If we were ever to get canceled, hashtag canceled, that's the transition that'll do it.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, if our podcast were to ever get popular, it would be canceled just as quickly.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure in someone's eyes we're already hashtag canceled, hashtag blessed, hashtag, oh. Hashtag.
Well, we are, because we're blocked by that one Rolling Stone author.
Never forget!
So she hashtag canceled us.
Oh, I will still, for... I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but that just made me think of... I will tell my children about the fact that there was a legitimate news article or whatever that linked to my article about...
Mm-hmm. How Walker about, Hayes is the worst
about
thing
Walker
ever.
Hayes is the worst thing in country music. The fact that someone linked to my article in a legitimate, like... publication. I'm like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Yeah, as far to say Walker Hayes is the worst thing to happen to country music ever, and I'm like, I said that. Then I clicked the link. I did say that. Never forget. But speaking of people who don't suck giant dongs,
me?
Who?
JK.
No, you do. Who's gonna fill their shoes is a great. It's so great because I don't think. Like, anyone could sing this song, and it'd be great because it's a great song, but having George sing it has so much more weight because it's like he lived through the era of mm-hmm. all these people. So when he's standing out there saying, well, who's gonna fucking do it? I just lived with legends. Who's gonna take up the reins and continue it to the future? And it is one of those things that makes you kind of stop and think, like, fuck, like... Who could possibly do something as great as they have? But I do also have to say, we are living in quite a wonderful time of new music. Not everything is popular, but we really are in a golden era of people making music that is incredible.
Yeah.
And I don't know if George saw it this way. You know, I think he was hoping for another superstar to come out of nowhere and fucking do the same shit, but... We may not have these tentpole figures in the mainstream, mm-hmm. but we've got a sea of fucking rabid incredible artists, and I think that's almost better.
Yeah, and I love the, well, there's a couple things I love about the song. One, it's hilarious that it was recorded in 1985, and he was already saying, like, what's going to happen to country music? Like,
exactly.
And then it's been 30 years since, 34 years since then, and it's still like, what the fuck? And then people are still saying, like, who's going to fill their shoes? Like, isn't it mentioned in the Eric Church song where he goes, like, Waylon would say this, and so would Hank, or what? And like, what the hell's that song called? A lot of boot left to fill. That one. I'm pretty sure he references this song.
Yeah, and I know that I've heard. I know that it might just be from that song, but I swear to God, like in the back of my brain right now, I'm like hearing some sort of lyric that references, you know, George asking who's going to step up and you know who's going to fill their shoes. Yeah. Who has shoes? And where are they? Can I fill them with poop?
I'm not gonna lie, you froze for a second, and it came back to, where are they, and can I fill them with poop?
I could see that my phone was frozen, and I didn't know how long I had to ramble to keep it going, and that's all I had. That's all I could think of.
That's really funny. But also the thing that there's times I love this and I hate it, because there are times where people are like, who's going to fill their shoes? And they're like, you got Cody Jinks, you got Tyler Childers, you got Colter Wall, they're going to fill their shoes. And then there's times where they're like, post the new fucking like Thomas Rhett song, and they go, then they asked who's going to fill their shoes, and it was Thomas Rhett.
It's really aggravating when the people hijack it and use it for shit like that. It's just like, oh, come on.
Yeah, people are like, we don't have to ask who's going to fill their shoes anymore, it's this guy. It's like, no, it's fucking not.
How about no?
But yeah,
you crazy Dutch bastard.
George Jones kind of looks like Goldmember.
Faja is dead.
Farger
is Faja.
His father.
What the hell is a farger?
Always quoting Austin Powers, never gets old. Anyway, number two. Let's move on. Is
two?
Two, yeah.
Did we already... Wait.
Three was who's going to fill their shoes.
That was three? Choices. Oh, shit. I'm all over the place.
Yeah. Number two.
All right.
Unless I skipped one. We got Races on, I don't think These so. Days, If the Drinking Don't Kill Me, Golden Years, Tender Years, Golden Ring, Tender Years, She Thinks I Still Care, Choices, Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes.
Yeah, no, that's it. I'm just going to time warp.
Yes, you are. Number two is The Grand Tour.
Over there sits the chair where she'd bring the paper to me and sit down on my knee and whisper, oh, I love you. But now she's gone forever, and this old house without the love that we once knew.
So this is where, if you have listened to us in the past, I had the Grand Tour as the saddest song instead of the song that everyone knows is number one, but I'm still not going to say it. but when I was putting this list together, I was like, you have to put the one song at number one. Like, you have to. Like, you're making this, you have to. So, I put this at number two. But I would say I've probably listened to this one more. I think it's just absolutely incredible. The added element of looking at the story from the perspective of the wife died rather than just left is just brutal and so tragic. But it's like, this is like what country is about, like these songs telling stories and making you feel something. And this song is incredible. It's beautiful. It's heartbreaking. And I don't know if anyone other than George could have sang it in a way that is so sorrowful while also just sounding incredible.
Yeah, and this is one that, like I said when we talked about it on the saddest songs, is that... Oh, there's Max. Is that the that I didn't know that the message was that his wife died. I thought it was that she just left him. And it's insane that when you, like, really get down to it, it makes it just a tier higher of just, like, holy shit.
It's just so sad.
Because it's barely even implied or inferred. Like, it's hardly there that you would know that. And it's crazy. And it's a great song. And Tony Jackson's cover is fantastic.
If you know who Tony Jackson is,
listen to him. He's awesome.
In the more recent years, I've listened to Tony Jackson's version of, like, 1,000 times, and, like, more than even George's version, just because I think it's such an unbelievably well-done cover. And usually covers, especially of, like, classic songs, are never, like not only just never, like, good, but they're never, like, oh, this is really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, number one is, obviously... He stopped loving her today.
He stopped loving her today. It placed a wreath upon his door. And soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today.
If you didn't see that coming, even before I started describing the second song, Grand Tour, like, if you're going to make a list of George Jones songs, like, He Stopped Loving Her Today is such a iconic song by any genre standards. Like, there's people who don't know this song who don't listen to country because they're fucking stupid and fuck them. But most people have at least heard this song and, like, at least know there's some country song that's called the saddest song ever made. Like, it's so fucking heartbreaking, but also just incredibly, like, the wordplay of it just being talking about this dude and how he's never going to get over her, and then it comes to the chorus. It's like, well, he stopped loving her today. Oh, he's dead. Like, it's such a great song. Like, like I've talked about a bunch of times, this is what country's about.
And I like it, like I said with, like, Grand Tour, how it's implied. Or, like, it's not even really implied that she died. You just have to really get into it to feel that. This one, it's implied. They never say that.
Yeah, they don't say that he dies. He's dead. But they say, I mean, all the things, like, of, like, they carried him away. It's like, okay, well, why?
Yeah, this one's heavily implied. But it's never, like, it's well written where it's not just, like...
You don't have to say, and then he died.
Yeah, there's no, and then he passed away. It's like, because they say, like, they put the wreath on his door. They don't say on his coffin or casket or whatever. Like, they just, it's implied because he said he'll love her till he'll die. And then it says, well, he stopped loving her.
Yeah. You know? And my favorite line of, like, the whole thing is just, like, the first time I've seen him smile in years, and it's just his body smiling. And it's just like, what an idea of just, it's like, oh, well, let's make him smile now. It's just like all of that together. It's incredible. It really is.
Yeah. It's a fantastic song. So yeah, those are our 10 favorite George Jones songs. If we're wrong, let us know.
yeesh.
But I'm sure no one will argue with our number one and two. So go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
Next up is our favorite new segment, is the number one country song of this week, but not from this year, because this year is terrible. It sucks, because when I was writing down the... when I wrote it down for the first time, it was obviously in June rather than July. So number one at the time when we were going to record was... I'm already forgetting what the hell it was called.
I don't even have any recollection.
I'm blanking on the name. It's the Conway Twitty song.
Conway Twitty?
Fucking, I'm blanking. Brad Paisley mentions it in his song about This Is Country Music.
Hello, Darling?
Hello, Darling. That one.
It is Hello, Darling. Okay. I love that song.
Yeah,
Hello,
that one Darling. Was number one that week in June, but we're not in June, so we're doing July instead. And this week, number one I mean, it's technically next week-ish, but we're in between the two number one weeks, so I think it's this week. it was because it was number one the week of July 23rd, 1983. I don't know if it was the
close
week before
enough.
Or the week after July 23rd, so I don't know. But it's that week.
I don't think anyone's going to be writing in angry letters just like, you guys, here's the wrong fucking week!
Yeah, exactly. But the song is Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard's Poncho and Lefty.
Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. But Dusty Poncho bit down south, ended up in Lefty's mouth. The day they laid poor Poncho low, Lefty split for Ohio, where he got the bread to go. There ain't nobody knows. All the Federalists say they could have had him any day. We only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose.
Well, this song sucks.
Right, moving on. Now, we've talked about it on the show before, because we talked about how it was covered on an EP that came out recently and everything, but this song, and we've talked about it because Merle Haggard's moment of, like, I'm just singing at the end because...
Yeah, it's too damn long. I'll come in at the end.
Yeah. But it's just an amazing song. If you haven't heard, you're crazy. It's just, like, it's just so good. I hold. Yeah. I love the whole...
Top three concert going moment of my life. Probably one of them. Probably number one ever.
It's my favorite of all time.
Them, Merle and Willie playing it at the July 4th Willie's Picnic. What was that, 2016?
2015.
I don't remember what year it was. It was a year it happened, but obviously before Merle died, but like literally like that year before Merle died, they played it on stage, and I got to see Merle. I mean, I got to see Merle play anyway, but then to see the two of them play this song live was unbelievable. The kind of shit that I will tell my kids about, and they will be like, I don't even know who Merle Haggard is, Dad. And I'll be like, shut up, kid!
You're not my son.
You're not my son.
But yeah, that's a fantastic song. You should listen to it. It's great. Back when country music was good. So that's indeed it for this week. I'm going to skip the other stuff just because I need to get fucking going.
How dare you?
You can find us at countryhodgepodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Country Hodgepodge. You can find Spotify playlists. We got Hodgepodgecast Picks, where we upload the songs we talk about. Kevin's Picks of the Week. Every week he uploads 10 songs you should be listening to. This Month in Country and 2019 in Country, which are the albums of this month that came out in the previous months that you should all be listening to. A lot of good albums have come out this month, or year, and month. I don't know. You can find our shirts on a wet link through the site or tpublic.com. Search Country Hodgepodge. Kevin's on Twitter at CHP _ charge. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and... Next year, we're going to stand hunt, so get ready for that. That's it for this week. Until next week, I'm Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good night.
Yeah.